passion, drive, and patience. What brings home the winning trophy is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. From superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more, whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to turn your car into the MVP and bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking each day as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello, 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 Davey Portman here. We're on Post Wrestling. It's up next. It's WrestleMania Sunday morning, and I am here with Mr. John Cena Evil. If you've been following our road diaries, we've been in a bit of a DOS house, about 12, 14 of us rooming together, and some people are having better sleeps than others. Definitely a few snorers on this trip. So Braden's going to try and catch some shut-eye because I know he had a rough sleep last night. And hopefully we can get some of his thoughts later in the day. But figured we'd get our NXT Stand and Deliver review up and maybe some thoughts on WrestleMania. But thank you. You found us. Wherever you find your podcasts, we're here to chat NXT. We're here to chat WrestleMania. And how's your Stand and Deliver season been so far, Cena?
Been pretty good. I think we're capitalizing off the Freebird rule here as I'm tagging in here for Mr. Braden Harrington. But yeah, it's been a pretty, it's felt very, really long. I'll be honest with you. Like, usually, like, weekend, WrestleMania weeks, I don't do like the full thing, like the last couple of years, obviously, with everything going on. But this is like really like hitting me. Like, Thursday, Friday, I was like, this is going to be a long fucking week. But you know what? Yesterday, like, I woke up in a really good mood and I think it was perfect. Like, I was ready to go for a morning show and we started with NXT. So yeah, I was ready to go and I'm feeling it now. I'm totally I'm headstrong into WrestleMania season.
We're not in our 20s anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been good. I'm Davey Portman. I'm from Poison Rana. If you go poisonrana.ca, you can sign up and look at our Patreon, looking at our free feed as well. We've been doing a bunch of these road diaries whilst we've been here in Philadelphia. We've been, you know, reviewing the cheesesteaks, the many, many cheesesteaks we've had on this trip.
How many you had so far?
I think six.
Six cheesesteaks?
Yeah, I've been pretty disgusting on this trip. I've got
three. I just had Geno's yesterday. We'll get into the whole trying to get home after WrestleMania. But thankfully, Geno's was open till 2 a.m. So that was a lifesaver last night. Geno's always my favorite, honestly. I had two others that were really good, but Geno's always just a spot. But you know, Ishka Bibbles is very close. It's very hard. Between Geno's and Ishka Bibbles, those are the two.
I was disappointed with my first Geno's. Mm. Last night definitely hit the spot. Yeah. I did the pepper cheesesteak.
That's what I did.
Yep. And like was so good. And like their piece of steak are like really nice and like thick, mm-hmm, as well. I know some people prefer like the thinly shaven. Yeah. But the Nick's in Reading Terminal, it was life-changing.
The best, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to see if I can maybe pop there before I go home tomorrow. But yeah, we've been doing all these road diaries. We've been talking about other shows we've been to see. I know Braden got to see DDT. He went to the Bloodsport show.
Bloodsport, yeah.
A lot of us went to the tribute to the Extreme, yes, on Friday night at the Philadelphia, yep, Arena, which was absolutely ridiculous. But then yesterday we hustled because NXT Stand and Deliver taking place at noon.
We had to stand up really early. We had to deliver, yeah, really early in the morning.
And I will say, for all the like cheesesteaks I've had, I've been having juice on this trip, fresh juice. Okay. And I think it's been like getting me through these days. But yeah, made it to the Wells Fargo Center for noon, and they announced in the arena, and I believe on the broadcast as well, that this is the most attended NXT show ever.
Yep.
Which it's, I feel like I've been in hotter NXT shows, but I think maybe majority of the arena was actually open for this and not tarped off. You just had like pockets where you just have little clusters of people kind of in the upper levels, and maybe some of the hotter NXT levels were kind of condensed a bit more.
Well, they had taken on the set for SmackDown in the Hall of Fame to open up more seats, so that must have worked in the advantage of NXT. I'm not sure if more tickets went on sale after the fact, but that must have helped in
that's right, like the short entranceway with those LED screens rather than the big stage. But yeah, I think noon show, it's just kind of NXT, this is kind of where it has to fall. As long as SmackDown is happening on a Friday night,
yep.
It's hard to find a place. It's either kind of do it Saturday at noon or don't do it at all. And well, you saw the attendance they had, and it would be dumb not to do it.
They're going to continue this. If they're going to keep breaking records, what reason do they have to not do it? So I totally understand.
Yeah, the only thing is if with the new sort of TV deal, SmackDown could very easily move to a Thursday night or something like that, which would make these weekenders a little nicer, you know, going back to that old time of like a Friday night takeover, stand and deliver would certainly help. But I felt the crowd there were like, they seem to know the product, a lot of them. It wasn't just people picking up a cheap ticket to NXT, because these tickets were very reasonable and actually cheaper than a lot of the indie shows going on this weekend. But, you know, people seem to know what was going on.
They knew the old Femi chance. They knew the Bird Lady chance.
Myra, Bird Call. So they into Thea Hale and Chase Yu. Like, Thea kind of got the crowd really, like, hyped up. But it was also a show at noon, so you could feel I was certainly saving myself for WrestleMania. You can probably hear it in my voice a little bit. I think we're all the same way.
Yep.
But yeah, I it was definitely, there were moments the crowd were super into it. I think obviously Trick Williams' entrance, it's really easy to get everyone along with it. But I've certainly been to NXT takeovers where the crowd were like rabid, and this wasn't that.
No, absolutely not. I mean, there's a lot more families there. There's a lot of kids that I saw there, so they knew the product, but they weren't like fully invested into it. So it was okay. Like I said, we're never gonna get that takeover level again. I could never say never, but that was a very special. That was like what AEW was in the first year. Like that type of energy is what the takeovers had, and that's not the type of energy we had for the NXT show yesterday. We're standing deliver, but like I said, the crowd was there. The crowd was, they knew like most of the characters there, so I think it was an enjoyable experience overall.
We had a kickoff match between Sean Spears and Joe Gacy. I think everyone was, well, at least in our group, were kind of finding their seats and stuff at that point. I did catch a little bit of the match, and Joe Gacy went over, which is kind of surprising to me in a way. Like, they've just brought Sean Spears back. I think it kind of tips you off maybe of their sort of plans for Sean Spears. I don't see him necessarily in NXT to be any sort of main level guy, but like, he's a great trainer, he's a good hand, as like the cliche is for Sean Spears, but he is. So being in NXT is this kind of player coach role, I imagine, and just there to help these kids improve and stuff, I completely understand. But I did get to hear Joe Gacy's theme twice, because he won. And after the match, gets attacked by Ridge Holland, I believe.
What I saw was he got attacked before the match. So Ridge was part of the kickoff panel. And I guess during Joe Gacy's entrance, Ridge Holland attacked him from behind with a chair. Despite all this, Gacy still entered the match and won the match. So I'm not sure exactly what was going on with that after he retired. But there may be something that was said on the kickoff between them. But I'm not sure exactly what's going on with Mr. Ridge.
Yeah, I did see Ridge on the panel do a bit of talking and stuff. But yeah, they seem to be moving from this retirement pretty quickly for this story. But then we go into the show proper, and we open with the Wolf Dogs.
We have a three-man commentary team. I did notice Wade Barrett did join Booker and Vic, which is pretty cool, because Wade was filling in for Booker those couple weeks that he was away. So the three-man team is cool, and plus to give Wade something to do WrestleMania weekend, since he's not doing anything for Mania.
Exactly, and Wade was on NXT commentary for a long time. It's not like he is clueless to who these people are. We have Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker, the Wolf Dogs, taking on Axiom and Nathan Fraser. Really fun opener here. Surprising. I wasn't expecting the Wolf Dogs to retain, especially I assume you've got big singles plans in mind for Bron Breakker on SmackDown. But, you know, I was happy to see these guys win. We've been saying it, reviewing this, the TV product every week. This is the most over Baron Corbin's been. And it was the case in the arena as well. Like, these two just click together. It works. The speed in this match, you've got Axiom and Nathan Fraser, who are incredibly fast. But then seeing Bron Breakker in person for the first time, you realize what like a freak athlete this guy is. And it seems every match I'm seeing him pull out something new. We saw on NXT this week the kind of doomsday moonsault fall away slam thing he did, which was incredible. On this show, did this like leaping, no hands Frankensteiner off the corner, which just looked amazing. But some fun spots in here. I love the end of days into the spear, and Nathan Fraser absolutely eating this spear. But this was probably one of my favorite matches on the show. I thought it was the right choice to kick off the show. But yeah, the Wolf Dogs. I'm just going to pause as our like AC fan goes off. Apologies for that. We are trying to just find a quiet spot, and it seemed to be quite nice outside. And then this giant motor started going off. It's either that or snoring inside, really. But we found a space. Sino, your thoughts on the Wolf Dogs versus Axiom and Fraser?
This match was a lot of fun. I think I said on the Road Diaries, it was like my favorite match of the show. Like, the speed in this match is crazy. If you would have told me like a year ago that like Baron Corbin would be like so over, I can't remember the last time Corbin was cheered this loud, honestly. And he fit in so well with Bron Breakker and just the speed of Axiom and Nathan Frazier. Like you said, those spots were just crazy. But I highly enjoyed this match. I kind of had an idea they were going to win. The Wolf Dogs merch just started selling. We saw their shirts at the merch table. So I had a feeling they're going to retain. I can't see them dropping to this team. No offense to Axiom and Frazier. But yeah, they would have to drop it soon, obviously, if Bron's going to get that call up. You would think like pretty soon, if not Monday, then on SmackDown.
Do you think it would help maybe to have them be pulling double duty for a bit and maybe have this team featured on SmackDown, to at least if they want to keep the associationship between the two? It clearly works for both of them.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. They can definitely, because you're not going to keep Corbin down at NXT forever as well, right? He might go to SmackDown. So you could do the whole story where they're teaming up as a tag team on SmackDown. They could break up and face off each other if they decide to do that. But yeah, they're going to have to drop those titles soon enough.
And then we go to our NXT North American title match, the meat match, if you will. Oba Femi defending against Dijak and Josh Briggs. Oba going over what I think it was a powerbomb on top of like two Briggs on top of Dijak for the win, and pinning Dijak to retain. I thought the crowd were most into Dijak in this match, that they liked the Oba Femi ooh chant, but Dijak really seemed to get himself over with this crowd. I thought this was a bit of a mixed bag. I thought at times Oba Femi looked a little exposed in here, and there was clearly sort of the more veterans in the match, Dijak and Briggs, trying to keep it flowing. Like, triple threats can't be easy, and we've only really seen Oba in singles so far. But then the kind of feats of like freak strength from this guy kind of made up for that. A moment which was what, like a double electric chair. Yeah.
That was ridiculous.
And Oba Femi's walking around the ring with these two big, big men on his shoulders, and really got the crowd going, like everyone on their feet. Like, and it was hard at times to get this crowd like alive. But yeah, that was really good. I've been enjoying the chemistry between Briggs and Dijak. We saw it at Deadline in that Iron Survivor match. And I think these two very kind of mirror images of each other, similar move set and stuff, but I thought they worked well. But I thought this was a fun match, but it definitely wasn't without its hiccups as well.
Yeah, I got a little worried in the beginning. There were some spots that kind of were worrisome. I think Oba had caught, I want to say, Briggs off the apron, and he looked like he was going to fall back go against like the commentary table. So that was a little scary, but like towards the end, it got really picked up. Like you said, the electric chair spot was ridiculous. I enjoyed this match, and the crowd was behind, like you said, Dijak and Oba Femi as well. The match was also sponsored by Knuckles, and we saw like a guy dressed up in Knuckles costume from Sonic around the ring. I was hoping he'd get involved, maybe get his head kicked off by Dijak, but unfortunately,
I was sure we were getting that spot. We had them like confront each other. It was shown on .com beforehand. I was sure we were getting a cyclone boot to Knuckles, and still no Gritty. Yeah, this weekend.
Ooh, you're right. You're right. Yeah, they might be saving.
Let's know where the gritty spot is, where the Fnatic spot is. We then go into a six women's tag match. Fallon Henley, Kalani Jordan, and Thea Hale taking on Izzy Dame, JC Jane, and Kiana James.
Say that name three times fast.
Izzy Dame, JC Jane, Kiana James. Yeah,
James.
And yeah, this was where I noticed sort of Thea's popularity.
Oh, yeah.
People really into her. She's got this great like speed about her. So whenever it gets to doing the, you know, the hot tag, she's just so much fun. I love her like springboard coffin drop she does. And a bit of melodrama in this match as well. You know, that you used to be my best friend, that whole story between Thea and JC Jane. But we get Thea tapping out Izzy Dame with the Kimura for the win. Little surprised. I thought this really needed to be JC Jane tapping. So maybe we're not seeing the end of that feud quite yet.
Yeah, I think they're definitely saving that spot for when they have the one-on-one match between those two. But yeah, this match is pretty enjoyable. I know that Jasmine Nix was on the outside. She's still kind of sporting the arm injury from when she got tapped out by Thea, but she got involved by hitting a kick on the outside. But yeah, I think this match was pretty good. There was a spot, I didn't catch it myself, but I guess at the end, Fallon Henley gave Thea Hale a sort of look that some have registered as being possibly her being a little upset at Thea Hale. I'm not sure if it was a spot specifically in the match, kayfabe-wise, story-wise, obviously. So it looks like they might be maybe heading to a heel turn from Miss Fallon Henley soon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ah. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
Fallon's great, though, so would like to maybe see her try. I believe this was when we saw Julia front row in the crowd, who I've seen this kind of gif replayed quite a few times now where she's told to stand up and then is like, wow, like clearly people knew who she was. This is, I feel, the first time since the takeover days we've had the front row hot new signing spot. So bringing that back, which I always enjoyed. But yeah, Julia clearly going to be a big, big part of NXT and the women's division. And I, you know, like I do still think NXT has one of the best women's division out there. And as much as this six woman tag really didn't need to be on the show, like if you were looking to trim this down and make it like a hot five matches or whatever, this would be the one to go. But also these women kind of deserve to be on there. Thea's been killing it recently. Fallon, I think, is just like the, like she really helps this division. She makes everyone she's in the ring look good. Kalani's been great as well. So I understand wanting to have these women featured. And yeah, finishing with Julia, who I think we'll get into a bit more after the next match.
And yeah, and this is obviously a big spot for all these women, but like Izzy Dame, who I can probably count on my hand, on my fingers how many matches she's had, and she's already like on a PLE in Philadelphia in a big arena. So that's a big moment for her, obviously. I was hoping for a little bit more for Kalani Jordan, but I think she'll have her moment. She'll break out soon enough. I'm not sure they talked about it here, but they did announce a new title is coming. We're going to get the Women's North American title, and that's a title I can see that could be perfect for Kalani Jordan.
Absolutely, yeah. I think now we've lost the women's tag straps, it has needed another title. It has needed something else to fight for, because the women's roster is pretty deep. So I like that. That actually got possibly the biggest reaction apart from Trick Williams. Like people were really into that.
People love titles. People love titles. The Rock gets a random title at the Hall of Fame and we get another title on NXT. Just give everybody a title.
So that I imagine we'll have some sort of tournament or something for that. It's whether, like I do see Julia being pushed for the NXT championship
because
there was a look between kind of her and Rocks after the match. But if this was something you wanted to make Julia's title coming in, that's certainly something you could do as well.
It should be noted, Julia, she was sitting with William Regal, but she was also sitting with Rossi Ogawa, who, as we know, had left Stardom and starting his new promotion. And there's been reports that he's working or trying to work with WWE with this new promotion. What extent do you see it? I mean, she has prior obligations, but after that, she's going to report to the Performance Center. But do you see this possibly evolve into something else? I know we joke with NXT Japan, but like, could this potentially be like a start to that or some sort of?
I think it's very possible WWE has some sort of investment in it. The women's division is something I feel they really pride themselves on and is one of their kind of unique selling points, like how strong this women's division is and how deep it is. And if they can have that sort of relationship, I mean, we've been talking a bunch since Charlie Dempsey went over to All Japan.
Yep.
The idea of excursions for like this roster, these next in line people, Performance Center people, would help so much, because obviously you had the days where people would travel the indies for years and then they'd come to NXT, and now you're still hiring those wrestlers, but you're also hiring a lot of like college athletes.
Yep.
and that kind of thing, and you do want variety, and having people go to different companies to pick up different styles, and so it's not just everyone's a copy, cut, paste, performance yeah. center talent. I think it would improve the product a lot, and having a relationship with this new startup and helping that company get off the ground, and you know, Julia probably being the key focus of both that company and I imagine NXT very, very soon. The question is, do you see her joining the family?
She might after what happened. She actually might. We might find out her name is Julia D'Angelo. I could definitely see that happening. But yeah, as far as like sending people out to excursions, I mean, it worked wonders when they worked with Evolve. Like I saw personally, like when the Street Profits were sent down there,
100%.
Giovanni Vinci, when he was sent down there, you could see him kind of transforming and getting evolving as well. So, I mean, Nick Khan is showing up at GCW. So what does it hurt to send like a Brooks Jensen to Old Japan? No, like absolutely. Why not? There's no possible way you can use all these wrestlers. And there's companies out there that want to work with you. This is the new era, as Triple H said, right? Like this is the time. Send people to Old Japan. Send people to GCW. Send people to, you know, anything. Like why not? Put them out there and get some exposure.
And document it as well, whether it's like a documentary format or just, you know, a minute vignette on NXT showing, oh, Brooks Jensen just had a match here or whatever. I think would be great. There was also a vignette for, I assume, someone else debuting.
So I was confused about this. So I saw this and not just me, a lot of people thought the same thing, but I guess they had shown this same video on the Hall of Fame, and I think it was attached to the Rhea Becky match.
Oh,
so
I'm
it
with
could
you.
Yeah. So okay. people were under the same assumption. It was like very similar to the one for Shawn Spears. People just kind of got the idea, oh, maybe it's somebody coming in, but unless there's something changed, it looks like that might be just something else.
We then have our NXT Women's title match, Roxanne Perez defeating Lyra Valkyria in 16 minutes, 20 seconds. The whole focus of this match being on the arm, the shoulder of Lyra that Roxanne has been targeting since her heel turn, and actually taps out the champion with her new sort of crossface finish. But I really like this match. I think these two are the two best workers in the NXT women's division and two of the best women in the company, I think. Really good pace to it. I like the mix of sort of, you know, trying to like out wrestle each other. It was very mat based to start with. Then you started getting Lyra's like very quick kicks that Roxanne kept evading. And yeah, we didn't really get the match properly the first time round because we had the Lola cash in. And I was impressed. This lived up to my expectation. And a bit of a split crowd as well.
Yep.
Even though Roxy's just turned heel, people still are like very much into her and maybe has still a bit more of a name over Lyra Valkyria. I think Lyra still hasn't quite found maybe her voice or what is sort of unique and special to her besides her wrestling. But I think this was the right move. Roxanne's new character, being a heel, she can now have a dominant run with this title. And there was a look exchange between her and Julia after. And that, I mean, that could be Heatwave. That could be Toronto, perhaps.
I would love that, yeah.
But I did enjoy this match.
This match was good. I was actually a little bit surprised. Like, not that I didn't think Roxanne was going to win the title, but it's definitely the right decision. But I was just kind of surprised that she won, honestly. I thought she was going to keep this heel persona going a little bit more to kind of evolve it. Not that it hasn't been working for me, but I kind of want to see like the next stage of this heel turn from Roxanne. I don't think Lyra is getting called up anytime soon. Like you said, she definitely needs some more work. I actually would like to see a heel version of Lyra. There actually was a spot where Tatum Paxley got involved, and there was a backstage segment after that they showed where Lyra kind of just pushed Tatum away. So I'm not sure if that's more of like Lyra getting pissed off or just like Tatum kind of.
And there was Lyra telling Tatum this on NXT that she's going to do whatever it takes, kind of maybe like opening her eyes more to Tatum's ideas. I don't know. It's something like that where it is a shame they don't have the tag straps anymore.
Yeah.
And obviously North American's going to help that, give people more things to do. But there's a lot of like partnerships, pairings in NXT with nothing to fight for, I think,
What do you do when Cora Jade comes back? Is her and Roxanne automatically friends again, or are they going to continue to butt heads?
Do you know her status?
I don't think she's coming back anytime soon, but like you would think if she comes back, she might have to get a little bit of retool or repackage and maybe just come back as a babyface.
I think coming back as a babyface, I don't think she's worked as a heel. And I thought she was pretty over as a babyface, and definitely it suits her style better. I think her style's been exposed a bit since being heel, because I don't think she has maybe that level of aggression that goes with it, which I think Roxanne does find.
Yeah.
We then have the NXT title match, Ilya Dragunov defending against Tony D'Angelo with the family. And we had a great kind of Sopranos knockoff.
That was amazing.
Going through the, like, from streets of New Jersey into Philadelphia, song very similar to Woke Up This Morning. Like, they definitely got the beat and everything for that. So that was fun. This match was kind of what I thought it was before going in. I just didn't feel this had the heat it needed. I thought both guys worked well. They tried to create some good near falls. They tried to create a bit of, you know, tension with Stax and Tony, with Stax trying to hand the brass knucks and Tony refusing that, which kind of might have ultimately cost him. Ilya's selling of the hand is too far for me. I know that's something like kind of special about Ilya, is just how ridiculous and over the top his acting is.
They showed
but
him
it
doing
was a lot.
They showed him doing push-ups before entering, and he's like doing it with one hand. As he's doing the push-ups, he's like staring at his hurt hand and going like, like he's just like in pain, like without even like touching his hand. I think it was hilarious.
That being said, I did enjoy the spot where he goes for the Constantine special, which is like his like 619 through the ropes into a lariat, and because he can't grip on the rope with his hand, he just gives out midway through, and you're hearing the certain people and they go, oh, he botched that. It's like, no.
What I'm confused about is like Tony D'Angelo's character, like it seemed like he's trying to turn heel, right? But not like super heel, because there was a spot where Stax was trying to hand them brass knuckles and D'Angelo looked at him and was just tossed him back to Stax. So it's like either you're going to go full heel or you're not. Like this kind of doesn't, the semi-heel for a character like D'Angelo doesn't really work for me. If you're going to be a mob boss, you have to be like a full bad guy.
I think that's where this like whole feud has failed, is because he's being a serious babyface. You know, he's taking Ilya to the bridge, but he's not killing him. It's just hasn't had the heat, and it's been hard to invest in this half cartoon.
Yeah.
And they're trying to make the cartoon character more serious, but it hasn't worked. And I think this did suffer for this. I honestly forgot this match was happening after Roxanne Lyra. I was like, okay, cool, Trick Mello next. But the work was fine.
Yeah.
The work was good. I think Tony's definitely stepped up in ring. I think the tag run maybe helped him a lot, but he was looking good. But yeah, who do you think the next sort of challenger would be for Ilya? Do you just go Trick Ilya?
I think so.
At this point. The summer?
Yeah, I think so. Trick is he's on a wave right now. You have to capitalize it. Just go through Trick and Dragunov, honestly. And Tony D'Angelo, honestly, with him and his entire family, I would just put him on SmackDown. I don't think they need to really be in NXT like much longer, because they have a very like family-friendly, goofy type of character and gimmick where the wrestling doesn't matter as much. And I think D'Angelo has enough wrestling where he can, you know, go through a match. But I don't think this act shouldn't really be in NXT too much longer.
I think you can see doing something very similar with what you had with Legado, where maybe you'd have just Tony go up on his own first, and then gradually they join, because I think Stax has shown great improvement, but he might, you know, need to have a bit more seasoning in NXT. And you could always have, you know, Tony D be the Don of SmackDown, and he blesses Stax as the Don of NXT. But Rizzo is someone who really we've barely seen anything in ring, and I think it could be a mistake to bring her up right away. But we've seen this act like grow gradually on NXT, so I could totally see you doing it that way.
Hey, when I watched the Roman Reigns documentary, one side of his family is Samoan, but the other side is Italian, Sicilian. So if something happens with the bloodline and he gets abandoned by the bloodline, he might have to get the D'Angelo family to back him up and him, you know, kind of go through that side of his family.
But yeah, Trick Ilya makes sense. Trick's the hottest star in this company right now. There's no one else I can think of off the top of my head who's ready, who we haven't seen face Dragunov yet. And there is still that story, like Trick chasing that victory over Ilya. He's already won his respect. Now he's going to beat him. So that makes a lot of sense. And then we go into our main event, Trick Williams versus Carmelo Hayes. No stipulation added to that. How did you feel about that?
I mean, I'm not sure if they said anything on commentary, but they definitely took it to the stands at one point. So they could have easily made this a false count anywhere or just no DQ or even like a lax rules type of match. But they definitely felt like it definitely needed something, just kind of like raise up the stakes. But maybe that's something they're going to do in the long run. But yeah, the entrance was cool. So you had like Carmella put the jersey of Trick Williams as he came out. He had massive heat. The fans did not come here to see Trick Williams.
Sorry, I don't know what happened there. Yeah, it was super fun getting involved in the whole whoop that trick. Crowd were like, this was the loudest they were the whole time. And I thought the match was good. Like, I think it helped because it had that crowd energy. Yeah,
we had Trick's family in the crowd, so we saw them being introduced in the video they had for them. And so he was in there, and Carmelo kind of got into it with him and kind of like tossed his hat off and everything. So it was pretty cool to kind of get some family involvement as well, being a homecoming for Trick Willie.
Yeah. But I don't think maybe the match hit the levels it potentially could have. I think Trick's been great, but he is still improving. He's not at the level in ring wise as your Ilias or your Mellows quite yet. But there was enough like fanfare around this that it carried it through. So overall, I had a pretty fun time at NXT. It does suffer a little bit being early in the day, but
it was a good kickoff to WrestleMania. It got us kind of like a little bit in the mood and
it
ready.
It was nice, like warming me up a bit for the main thing. Overall, I enjoyed it. I don't think there was a bad match on the show, but I wouldn't necessarily say anything like blew me away either. But
it was hard to do. This is the arena where we got Gargano and Almas and Chill, so it was very hard to top that moment for you, Dave.
Nothing reaching that level. But I do think NXT's in a good place. I think as much as I loved that black and gold era of NXT, the worry with it was, that Adam Cole-Johnny Gargano match was great. I don't want to see them go to Raw, though, because what would they do? But they've been in NXT too long, so what do we do now? And I think now you see much better of like a system that you've got these characters and, as you said, the family, they're ready to just move to SmackDown now. This guy, he's ready to go to Raw. It makes a lot more sense that way now, and I think it is achieving. And it is gradually like bringing back that popularity as well, like a very healthy crowd for it. And as I said, people knew the stories going into it. I wonder how, CW taking over, they could have a lot of investment now. Whereas before it's been the third brand on USA, this will be the only brand on CW. So they might want to be even more invested in this product, and would be interesting to see how it changes with that.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed the show. Like, I always have fun at these takeovers or non-takeovers, WrestleMania weekend. I enjoy seeing the fans actually know the product and get into the chants. You get the Oba chants, you get the Lyra chants. So that convinces me that people are watching NXT again. Not as much as they were in the black and gold era, but at least they're giving it a chance and they're rolling with it, which I'm very happy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And then we go to WrestleMania. Won't do like a full review of this, but we all kind of managed to find ourselves pretty nice seats, I think, Dayov.
I got really lucky. So me and Frank, we showed up to the section 126, and the lady, the nice lady, was like, "I'm sorry, but your seats don't exist." And I'm like, "Pardon me, the show starts in about half an hour." And she's like, "You have to go to guest services and get your seats fixed." And I'm like, "Okay." So we go to guest services. We have to wait on this line for like 40 minutes or so. But and then as soon as we get to the front of the line, the computers are shut down, and they're like, "Sorry, we can't help you." I'm like, "The show starts in like 5 minutes." The guy, like, he got fed up just as much as I did. He's like, "You know what? I don't know what he did. He just took some tickets and wrote whatever on it. He's like, here, these are your seats. If anybody has an issue, tell them the manager at guest services says it's okay." I'm like, sure. We go to our seats, and me and Frank are in really nice, like $600 seats. And we got really good view. And I'm not going to complain at all about my view tonight on Sunday. But the view definitely made the show a lot better. I got to see the full Rock Fire entrance and all the other entrances. I love my seats. This show was great. WrestleMania is always great to me, but not always, but just being there is always great. But I enjoyed this show. There was a couple matches that kind of dragged too long or whatnot, but I think the overall feel, it kind of gave me like that good feeling again for WWE.
Yeah, I was very lucky with my seats as well, kind of maneuvered. You'll have to tell me what time to go there, because I've got the same section as you, and if it doesn't exist today...
I would try to get there as early as possible, because there are people behind me that were probably there, like an hour into the show.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. We'll have plenty of time. I will say, I've been to, I think this is my 7th Mania, I'd like to say. This was one of the easiest venues to get into. Some of these things are a shit show at times, trying to get in, but... I don't know if I should be nervous because security seemed pretty lax. I assume they've got really good technology that just detects stuff now.
You know, I've noticed that a lot this entire week, even for like the indie shows, GCW, like there really isn't that much security at any of these shows.
Even the airport, I didn't even show my passport to get
in. I did not have to empty my pockets whatsoever anywhere. I think the casino is probably the only place that had any sort of security, but everywhere else that all the wrestling shows, like, yeah, it's very easy. It's very concerning. Getting in was easy. Getting out was a different story.
Yeah, so I'd like to say it was just, you know, they've got better technology now, but yeah very easy to get into this venue. You've heard it by now. It was cold. The good thing about it being a two-night thing, we know to wear more now.
Yep.
I'm going to try and pick up some gloves before the show tonight.
I like the set. It was really cool. It had the XL with the Tron on it. That was really cool. The whole presentation was cool. The Prime logo was not bad. I can barely notice it. It was like blended in with the color of the mat, so I forgot it was there at times, honestly.
I really didn't mind the Prime logo. Some of the sponsorships were a lot.
Not a fan of Dude Wipes?
Dude Wipes, not so much. And also... the chicken wings commercial Wingstop, just looked so tacky during that six-man tag. Yeah. And interesting, we didn't have a sponsor for Sammy and Gunther.
Mm.
But, and I assumed, oh, okay, they're keeping the main and the semi-main kind of sponsor-free.
Yeah.
However, what, American Home Shield
for the main event.
Which really, come on. This should have sponsored LA Knight, AJ Styles. Home security?
Yeah, that's going to be part of the Slim Jim spot. I think LA Knight is a Slim Jim golden boy. But yeah, American Home Shield, I was like, I see the Shield connection with Roman Reigns, American Nightmare. Like, I don't. Maybe they're trying to do something with that, but that was a very interesting sponsor. We had a couple of new sponsors that we've never seen, like I said, Dude Wipes and Wingstop. But
it's only going to be more.
Yeah, I mean, any sport you watch, right? You watch basketball, you watch NASCAR, the sponsors are everywhere. So it's WWE embracing working with other companies, whether it be wrestling companies or sponsors. Like, I'm all for it. It's fine. As long as everybody's making money and everybody's enjoying it, I'm perfectly fine with it.
Yeah, yeah. I always love, like, just walking into the stadium for the first time, seeing what the set's like. I love the color palette this year, the green and the teal.
Yeah.
It just looks really nice. And it sounds silly, but I like, you know, thinking of different WrestleManias, and I have a color associated with it.
Did you get a Philadelphia Eagles WrestleMania Prime bottle?
I did not, no.
I might have an extra one for
you. Okay, yeah, hopefully maybe some today as well.
Yeah, they announced that Cody Rhodes is like the official athlete of Prime, so they showed like this red, white, and blue bottle for him, but that wasn't the one that they gave out. Maybe they're going to give it out tonight, but they had like a special Philadelphia Eagles green Prime bottle. All these special edition ones, because my son's a big collector, they all taste the same. They're all the same flavor. It's just a bottle. That's the special thing. So, I was able to get myself one. But, yeah, you had the Prime sponsors out there. You had the C4 Energy giving out free drinks. It's always cool when you go to these shows and just handing people free energy drinks. You're here for God knows how many hours. Here's some energy drink. It's a good gesture from the sponsors.
Yeah. So, the thing I missed is I do miss the fireworks coming off the roof.
Yeah.
I think maybe just the way how open this stadium is and how kind of windy it was as well, maybe not for the best, but missed that. I missed the fighter jets flying over. Starting with the national anthem, not America the Beautiful.
Right.
So Vince is gone.
Yep.
Which is interesting. But
Coco Jones.
Coco Jones. I thought she sounded beautiful.
Yeah.
The gummy might have kicked in at that point, but I was like sunglasses on and sobbing to the national anthem.
I
thought she sounded fantastic.
I'm not familiar with her work, but she was fantastic. And I saw a segment with her backstage after she was meeting Bianca, Jade, and Naomi. She was full of charisma. She's like, I'm down. I want to wrestle. Let me team up with you guys. So I like this Coco Jones. I think she did a great job.
Yeah, she was great. Kicking off with Becky Rhea, I thought they had a great match. I think both Becky and Rhea kind of step up.
Yeah,
Mania.
And Becky, I heard, had like strep throat or a fever going into this match.
Oh, wow.
So she was not doing too well. But she had a really cool entrance. She had like excerpts from her book as she's coming out, and she had like quotes from her book on her gear itself. And then Rhea had like the band performing her entrance, which was really cool.
Yeah, they played her out before, haven't they? I thought they sounded really good, actually.
Really good, yeah.
Because sometimes these live performances aren't great. Not many big entrances, though, I'd say, on this show.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're saving it for today, but yeah, we didn't get really anything. We got like the Jay, Naomi, Bianca got like an entrance together, and obviously The Rock came through like a ring of fire.
A girl band or something.
Yeah, but like we didn't really get, you know, we didn't get any vehicles, so we didn't get too much like dancing. Like it wasn't like too much of a WrestleMania entrance feel, but maybe they're saving it for night two.
They've got to make room for all those commercials and things, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought Becky Rhea was pretty good. I wouldn't mind seeing them rematch it, like down the line, maybe not right away, but like a SummerSlam or something. And yeah, I mean, Rhea could just be keeping this title for another year. I think the Bianca match and the Jade match are probably your two big ones that you haven't really touched at all yet. And maybe they want to keep the title on her to have those two matches.
Yeah, she needed to win this match. There's been a lot of like concern about her reign not being as strong as they were hoping. And she needed to get a strong WrestleMania victory 1 year after she won the title for sure.
We had the tag ladder match. I think I correctly predicted this on Up Next with the Austin Theory, Grayson Waller winning one set and The Awesome Truth winning the other set. I feel it kind of sucks for Judgment Day to just lose both titles split in a ladder match, and they didn't even seem that asked.
I mean, I think that's the story going into it, because if you look at it, they lost, and then in the next match, Dominic lost. So everybody from Judgment Day lost, with the exception of Rhea. So that could definitely be a story. Like, everybody lost their titles. I'm the only one here with a title right now. Damian, go out there and cash in that briefcase. Do something. So I think that is for storyline purposes. I like the titles being split. I don't like the two sets of titles being on one team. So I think it's the right decision, and I'm happy with both choices of the winners.
It was something I did notice on this show, though, was quite a few production...
Yeah, there's
like
mishaps, in this match,
which you're not really used to with WWE, but you got to feel bad for like Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, who this is. I mean, I think Dunne's been like in the corner of people at WrestleMania, but I don't think he's had a match. Tyler Bate certainly hasn't. And they were coming out as what, The Awesome Truth?
Yeah, so Awesome Truth came out and like their song kind of cut off like right in the middle of it, and they didn't go to the next song, and then they finally did, but their graphics stayed up. So as the new Catch Republic came out, they had the Awesome Truth graphics. Before this, though, they had a segment from Pretty Deadly, which was pretty funny. They kind of like ran through all the teams and kind of making fun of their name, saying, "Do Catch Republic sounds like a new pair of jeans and whatnot." So that was kind of funny. And then DIY had the full-on DX entrance. We didn't get to see a live, but I went back and watched, and they had actual like the DX graphics like on the screen itself. So that was pretty cool. They're fully embracing it. And it was R-Truth had the whole crowd laughing with his spots with the hot tag.
The hot tag was brilliant. And then Miz just being like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, why not at this point? Then he did the tag, the pan, and everybody did 1, 2, 3, and he thought he won the title. So that was really funny. But I think it was the right decision for both teams winning.
My friend from back in the UK was like, "Can I use your network to watch WrestleMania tonight?" And he just tunes in for WrestleMania, and he's texting me, "Why are DIY pretending to be DX?
Yeah.
Why is R-Truth pretending to be John Cena?" It's like, it's a long story.
Yeah, it's too much here. But yeah, this match was great. There's some crazy spots with the table spots. What did the Ciampa hit some crazy spot off the ladder?
Hit the white, sorry, not the white noise. Yeah, the air raid
crash. Yeah, the air
crash. Off the ladder. But this was like, normally you see this off like the short ladders or through a table or something to like catch your fall. But this was one of the higher ones and looked pretty nasty. But yeah, fun match. We then had the Andrade and Rey Mysterio versus Dominic and Santos.
Yeah, unfortunately, like we didn't like last year. We got a really cool entrance from Dominic, right, with the whole like getting arrested and whatnot. This is kind of standard one for him. Some pretty cool like gear for the team, but yeah, the entrances were just regular for these two teams.
Yeah, this was probably lower on the card for me. The Dom stuff felt kind of shoehorned in. It didn't quite have that magic of last year. It felt like sort of trying to play some of the hits from last year with the spanking and that sort of thing. And I like all four guys in this, but this didn't quite click for me as much.
Yeah, I'm happy everybody like from Logano and LWO got involved on the outside. You had the Joaquin Wild spot bouncing off slingshot and off the ropes. You had Electra Lopez and Zelina Vega get a little bit, and the crowd started to kind of die towards this, but it wasn't until the two masked luchadors came in from the crowd to help Andrade and Rey Mysterio win. Do you know who these two men are?
Well, one's Jason Kelsey and the other's his mate.
Yeah. I think you got it right. But yeah, they're wearing Lucha mask, and of course the crowd
both
pops.
Former Eagles or Eagles, yeah. Whatever. Yeah, so that was pretty fun. We then had the Jimmy VJ Uso. I thought the video package for this was incredible.
I had chills watching this. It was really, really well done, and I will say it's probably the best part of the match.
Yeah. It then am I crazy, or did we have production issues for Lil Wayne as well?
I don't think so. So he came out and he did like just the beginning part of his song, A Millie, and then they just cut it off. So I think that was the intent of him just doing
but like it. I didn't feel his mic was.
Oh, is that what it was?
At least okay. Where I was sat, I couldn't hear him until like the last couple of bars, and then with the abrupt cut off, it was like he almost like fuck it.
I did keep hearing him like as Jay's doing his entrance. He's like there, just kind of like ad libbing, like yeah. It's like it was pretty funny, but just to see the crowd just do the whole Jimmy Uso, the Jay Uso wave thing is surreal to see like 70,000 people doing that at the same time.
Yeah, and then the bell rung. Unfortunately, yeah. This.
Brother v brother just never works. It doesn't work.
There was no heat. I felt it was kind of plodding. It'd be plodding, and then we'd have a super kick fest and a near fall. And I didn't think any of the near falls felt really earned. The crowd, I wouldn't say turn on this, but they became very indifferent. And I thought was a real shame. I don't always think this overly dramatic bloodline acting just carries in a stadium. Maybe on TV you get that story across a bit more, but I think this was in a weird position because part of me would like this killer match and then they hug it out after you have a really like a nice emotional moment after the match. But the problem is
can't do that right
bloodline
now.
Rules yeah. You need the odds stacked against Cody tomorrow. You can't be I wouldn't turn Jay at this point because he's a really over babyface. And Jimmy leaving the bloodline like tonight before it just seems a bit like soon. So this absolutely didn't work for me. It was a shame. Like I've liked what Jay's been doing. This story hasn't really hit as well as it should have. It's been confusing with Jimmy's motivations and stuff. That video package absolutely hyped me up for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it almost before the bell rang, it almost felt like they're playing more off that video package and them being brothers and stuff than the story that they've been telling. It didn't work.
Yeah, this match needed their dad. And unfortunately, with everything going on with the bloodline, you can't just have Rikishi come out there and just have them hug it out and dance it out, unfortunately. We're going to get that eventually. But with everything happened with the bloodline, who knows? Tonight, we might get every Samoan wrestler ever seen before might be showing up tonight. But this match definitely needs more. I think we're going to get that. It just was tonight wasn't the night for it.
We then have the six-woman tag. Jay Uso went over, yeah.
Yeah.
Six-woman tag, Bianca, Jade, and Naomi taking on Damage Control, Asuka, Dakota Kai, and Kairi Sane. Pretty cool entrances for both. Fun match, mainly building up to the Jade tag, but didn't get a whole lot here.
Yeah, Dakota looked great. Like, I mean, she just came off an injury and she was like totally into it. But even the entrance, like, yeah, they kind of came off. They had a little ramp that pulled up Bianca, Jade, and Naomi as they made their entrances. But this match was fun. I'm a little surprised they gave Jade like the big spot, the big win in this match.
You're surprised they did?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought like Bianca was going to get the pin.
Oh, this is like Jade is who you're trying to focus. It's her big like debut, really.
Yeah, it's her first Mania. Like, I don't know. I feel like she has to earn that the way. I think Bianca should have been the one to take the pin. But I understand why they would do that.
So you want to present this woman as a star. And I think like Bianca already has that. Like, I didn't mind. Like this was absolutely fine. Probably right placement as well to kind of break things up a bit.
What do you do with Jade next?
What do I do with Jade next? I mean, she's on SmackDown.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can have her, like...
Do you keep this tandem going with these three, or do you think that was a one-off just for Mania with Bianca and Naomi?
You could do, like, singles and tag, like, spin-off from this. Yep. Maybe Backlash, you could have Jade just squash Dakota or whatever, and the other two go for the women's tag titles, perhaps. We then go to the Intercontinental Championship match, Sami Zayn defeating Gunther... he pulled out the brainbuster on the turnbuckle.
Ridiculous.
Which is just insane. But I love, it's like when Cesaro did the UFO, you know, holding off something from your past, from the indies that, you know, real ones know, and then pulling it out on the biggest stage, I thought worked. I thought Sammy's wife added to this story great.
Yeah, the entire entrance, unfortunately, had some issues as well because he was trying to speak to his wife and son, and you couldn't really hear what was going on there. And then he moved on to Chad Gable, and then he moved on to Kevin Owens, who was there to kind of meet him in Gorilla and give him the push and hug to get him going. And the camera was behind him. I love what they've been doing with production lately, especially with Sammy, and just following him through Gorilla and out to the entrance. I love
and
all that what they're doing.
Especially for WrestleMania, because it's the long walkway before you go through Gorilla. I'm loving this new production style for it. And the match, like, part of me is still like, I think it should have been Chad.
Yeah.
I think they did a great job in building this story, but I've seen, this is like Sammy's third or fourth intercontinental title run. It's not for the big one. Yes, you're dethroning the guy who's had a grip on this forever. And, you know, it's at WrestleMania and it feels like, and it's as a babyface, which I think all his IC title runs were as a heel, right? So I get it, but I really feel this moment should have been for one of the world titles for Sammy. And I think Chad had the story here. But all that aside, I thought they told a brilliant story here. It's one I definitely want to watch back on TV. Yeah. Where I'm sat, you can't hear those chops. Mm. Where like adds to it, you know? But I thought this was great, and great kind of closing sequence as well. That brainbuster, the Huluva kick as he sat on the top,
yeah,
and then the one to the back of,
yep,
the head, one to the front. I thought this was great, and I love that they position this as like the semi-main event, because I think Gunther has certainly earned that, and obviously Sammy's a big, big star too.
Do you know how many days Gunther held the title for?
Is it like 700?
No, 666 days.
Oh, okay.
So he's the devil himself. This is my favorite match of the show. Absolutely. Yeah. I love this match. Like you said, the final sequence of the three Huluva kicks, all three different variations of it were amazing. So Raw is in Montreal next week. What do you do with Sammy? Because I would just go straight to Sammy versus Chad Gable. I think you have to do that match.
Yeah.
In Montreal.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Do you have him drop it?
Oh, no. I can't.
Great, great match. I hope we have something night two that lives up to this.
Yeah.
And then you got the main event. It's the Bloodline, The Rock and Roman taking on Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. It's wrestling's weird because The Rock's coming out. He's in his vest and his pants. And part of me is like, part of me doesn't count that Stone Cold versus Kevin Owens match,
yeah,
because he was in t-shirt and jean shorts. Like, I kind of need full gear.
Mm.
And I'm looking at The Rock and I'm like, I think those are tearaway pants. They look kind of baggy.
I think they were fire repellent pants because he literally walked through a ring of fire.
Oh,
I think that's what it was.
Because
the material of it, I think that's what they were for.
Makes a lot of sense. But then I'm like, no, unless he's wrestling in his underwear, it doesn't count. Just wrestling's weird.
I think it was you that hyped me up that Seth could dress up as like the original Rocky Maivia debut.
Right, yeah.
So when he was like not taking up his robe and Rock didn't take off, I thought they're gonna have a spot where Rock takes off his pants and shows his tights, and then Seth shows that he's wearing the Rocky Maivia. That
would,
because he already had the colors for his robe. It was gold and blue.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, underneath he's got the Rocky Maivia.
It would have been, and it's perfect for Seth's character. Like, he's done the Dusty thing before. He's done the Shield thing before.
And what other opportunities he's gonna have? He's not gonna have a one-on-one match with The Rock. So this would have been the time to do it.
I've seen complaints about the entrances. I'm sorry. I come to WrestleMania for entrances most of the time. Like, it's take as long as you want.
It's fine, perfectly fine.
I love it. Match was, for me, I definitely need to watch this one on TV again. I'm seeing like raves about this match.
Yeah.
For me, it definitely had its low points. It was definitely Roman. I get you don't want to injure yourself before the match tonight, right? I get it. But his, like, getting the heat on Seth was so long and dull. The Rock, I felt, was outworking Roman here, and which surprised me. I just found those beatdowns quite long and took me out of it at that point. I did love the brawling around, like, the stadium and the ramp and all that, and definitely the final, the closing run of this match was so fun, so exciting, people getting into it. But I can't say it had my attention for the full 44 minutes.
No. I enjoyed this match, honestly. Like you said, there was some parts of it that were kind of dull, but this was cinema, as they say, right? There was so many spots, like with the Mama Rhodes and Rock getting to her face and her just screaming at him, I hate you.
She was great.
She was amazing. And then you had the it felt like a video game. You had like the Rock bottom through the table, like Cody reversed and did his own Rock bottom to Rock through the table. And the Rock, no, for what you can say about The Rock, he was doing a lot in this match. Like, for going for 44 minutes here, he was taking a lot of bumps. He was doing all the classic Rock selling. He took the spear from Roman and was selling like it was his last match ever. Like, I think Rock was fully invested in this, and you can't really say shit about his performance, honestly.
No. You've seen this whole run, how motivated he's been with it. And yeah, and apparently what, training with Gallus to get this match. They've had like the rehearsals for the match. I was missing the float over DDT. Would have liked to seen that, Rocky.
Yeah.
Maybe the next one. But you know, Rock pinning Cody here, I think we see where this is going. I don't feel this is a one and done for Rock. Like he obviously wants to do that Roman match at some point. You had the spear to Rock at some point in this match, which, you know, the Rock won it.
Yep.
So if the Rock won night one, Roman's losing night two, you've got Rock v. Cody out of that. You could do Rock v. Seth at some point as well, and you've got Rock and Roman. I don't know if you noticed Rock just dumping Seth's title out the ring at the end.
Oh, no, okay.
It was like this, because The Rock's debuted his People's Championship, which is a bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
But cool image of them both walking out with the titles.
Yeah.
But yeah, Rock just like kicked Seth's title out the ring like it was a piece of shit at the end. So I think you'll see the three singles matches, hopefully, if Rock can stay healthy and schedules and all of that. But I had a great time. There's definitely been manias I've been at that have felt longer.
Yeah.
Those like marathon one day, like I think in particular Dallas and New York just felt like so, so long.
This is your first mania with two nights?
First two nights.
Mine as well. And I think it works a lot better, honestly, because the last mania I went to was the one in New York and that was so freaking long. And it's like, if you split up in 2 days, I think that's okay. You go home, you rest, and then you wake up, oh, wow, WrestleMania's again tonight.
Again.
You get amped up. So I think that's the right decision, and I'm fully okay with these two nights, honestly.
Yeah, me too. There's a lot of time in between matches, which is a blessing and a curse, I think, being there live. And like I've been at some of these shows where I've just missed a whole match because I needed to go to the washroom and the lines are crazy, or wanted to grab some water or a beer or whatever. And you have plenty of time after like the bell rings for the end of one match. You've got two commercials, you've got a backstage segment, there's so much going on, plenty of time in between matches to grab a drink or go to the loo or whatever. But like I get watching at home, you're like, fuck, can I, or people that don't need to leave their seats, like, can we get moving? So yeah, I see it from both sides. But yeah, that's that. You had an issue getting out after?
Yeah, a lot of us did. So I was actually attempting to go to the clusterfuck, but there was no cabs and all the roads were closed off and it was so freaking cold. So just like roaming around the streets of Philly was an issue. Eventually we got some warmth inside the casino and we're like, you know, let's just kill some time, get some chinos and wait for everything to die down. It was like at 2 o'clock by the time we got out of there. So yeah, that was the issue, was getting home. People were trying to take the trains and the buses, but unfortunately I wasn't going to do that at that time.
The train wasn't actually too bad.
Yeah.
For coming back like to our area, I'd say it looked worse than it was. I reckon I lined up 20 minutes and then got a seat. Like they were doing it in batches, so they just, you'll stand, feel like nothing's moving, and then 100 people go off. So I'd recommend the train maybe for tonight. Like
for anybody listening, the train, and make sure you bundle up. It's gonna be cold tonight.
bundle up and take the train.
Yes.
Yeah. It worked okay for me. But yeah, that's WrestleMania night one, Deliver, and WrestleMania Saturday. And I'm ready to do it all again. We're about to go to Drinker's Pub. I'm going to try and get some little short road diaries with our friends, listeners, all that at Drinker's Pub that I can throw up on the Patreon feed. But Sino, I know you've been recording a bunch this trip as well.
Yes, absolutely. Post Wrestling Cafe, check out. I have reviews up there with Fire Frank talking about DDT and Bloodsport. I went through the Revolver House of Glory show with Rich Fan and WH Park. And then me and B Detroit went through the Tribute to the Extreme show. So check out those shows on the Post Wrestling Cafe if you want to know all the doings here at WrestleMania week.
All right. Well, that's it. We'll chat to you very, very soon. Take care. Be safe. Ahoy!